It's been a whirlwind summer, right? It really has been. And there's a lot of changes in every life here. I believe that. There's just a lot going on. So there's a lot to think. Yeah. But I mean, I think for the larger thing is, because this stuff will come and it will go. And but I don't want to not, like, you know, I said to the gentleman that will speak on Sunday, Jeff Packard, he's like, "Oh, you embarrass me when you announce when I visit." And I said, "Jeff, I want this church to know everything I know, because I don't want us to be like the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, where God did these amazing things and they just acted like it was no big deal. You know, I want us to act like it's a big deal every time about everything." And like, it was a big deal, these gentlemen that just came here. They're believers, and they're going to help us with the front steps, you know? You know, I don't want things to go by and for us not to catch them, and to walk with Christ as he goes by. So even in this, I know we've kind of, because we've had a lot of things going on, but I want to continue in the series, and I want to really think a lot about what God is doing here as well. And really, we're in the mercy of God. Right?
Right.
Okay. There are lots to think. Just so that we jog our memory, does anyone have anything from the last time we talked about the mercy of God that they can remember, that they can bring forward, and then that we can talk further about? I would love to have that. We're talking about the attributes of God, so
how about the sun shines on the just and the unjust?
Okay. Yeah, that basically God's mercy, and as you know, the great verse that God's tender mercies is over all of his works. It is easy, you know, in one sense, it's hard to think about the mercy that God gives to everyone, you know, because it's a little bit easier to think, well, they don't deserve it. And in essence, that's the definition of mercy, right? Part of that is the non-deserving part. But I think there's this righteousness, and I think we talked a little about this, there's this righteousness in us, this justice in us that says that absolutely this person doesn't deserve mercy. They have offended the law. They have offended my sense of justice, right? And there's something that says we don't deserve mercy. So there's a righteousness in us that... But God has given that mercy over all. And that's why it's interesting. He says, you know, if you would have mercy, show mercy, right? And we talked about the parable of the man who was forgiven, let's just say $10, and he couldn't, I mean $10,000, if you will, just to give it, put a number on it that we would understand. And then he cannot be forgiven. He cannot forgive $10. And that's the easiest thing, I think, in the world, is for us to forget mercy. I think and this was something that was on my mind earlier, and I want to go into a little bit. I think we forget mercy, and then we'll talk about this a little later. We'll continue to go through this part, but we forget mercy because either we don't think we need mercy, or... the mercy we have received has not done an inward work in us to change us. The man who had been forgiven so much, there was no inward work as a result of it. Mercy is handed out like this by God, but it does not necessarily mean that I receive it. Because if I take it in, and Romans 7 talks about this, there was an inward law from the inward parts. There's this law of the spirit of life. And Romans 7 and 8 talks about it, and it frees us from this other law. But that inward law, when I if I take it in, it actually is more powerful. It's life-changing for me. But if I don't, then if I don't receive it, then mercy is right there. It's at arm's length. Thank you for having it. Thank you for giving it. And we know this from children. You ever give something or someone, you think you just, you know, you gave somebody a break, okay, a big break, okay, and you know it, you sense it. For you, it cost you everything. You just basically, you gave them mercy. You didn't want to. You were deeply affected by whatever they did. Whatever they did may have affected you personally and may not have affected you personally, but you gave mercy. And they said thank you and went about their business. And then they proceeded to kind of trample on it. Anybody ever have that? Or they proceeded to go about their business as if it wasn't something special, as if what have you. And you're sitting here thinking, but literally just yesterday, this you did this thing, and or little, all of a sudden they're just very unthankful. They're ungracious. They're just, you know, it's like nothing ever happened. Okay, that is what I'm talking about. This is there. It was not received. It was on the table. It was given, but never received. And that is something that's possible. It's given. It's extended. But it's never really taken in, because mercy has a powerful work it can do inside of me when it's received. You know? But if I forsake my own mercy, and that is something. That's a very interesting portion in Jonah. We could look there very quickly. Is that quick enough for everybody? Jonah chapter 2. You know, this is basically he's in the fish belly, okay? He's in the crap. All right. Now, if you've ever opened a fish or cleaned a fish, and you open that puppy up, anybody ever cleaned fish? I did. And you have to gut it, and then you have to kind of take that inward part, then you have to scrape that part out. You ever do that? And you throw that stuff, and it all gets to be one big pile if you clean a lot of fish. And everything in there makes you want to puke, and the smell is even worse in some cases. But this is where Jonah is. He's inside there. All the bile, all the what have you, and he's in there. And magically, he has a prayer. Isn't that amazing? Surprisingly, Jonah has a wish, a hope, because now I've been caught. Remember, Jonah has run from God. He has run from the plan of God. He has like said, I'm done. I'm through. It's over. We're good. I'm just not interested in what you have. And I am running. So he gets into that ship. He goes down the city, gets on the ship. He's ready. He's trucking. Now, the ship for us would be like a plane. He's making time. We're getting on the plane. We're on the boat. And what happens? Big storm comes up, right? The storm comes up. It's going to destroy the boat. And they're like, something's wrong. Why? They're not even Christians. And he says, he's down in the bowels of the boat. I'm it. Just throw me overboard and everything will be okay. Now, I'm not sure any of us would do that part. But he says, throw me overboard, everything. So they throw him overboard, and what does it said? And God had prepared a whale. I love that. He prepared a great fish in Jonah 1:17. And to swallow up Jonah. Jonah, it's not over for you, buddy. I'm going to catch you by mercy. You deserve a lot. You deserve death. But I'm going to catch you by mercy. I'm going to catch you by a fish. Isn't that interesting? God catches us. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that's a long time. You know, I was thinking that it takes us, and this is, we're going to talk a little bit about this as well. Sometimes it takes us a long time to finally say mercy. Like, I want to receive mercy. Mercy is already here. It's actually being extended because Jonah should be dead right now. But it takes a long time for me to say, please, give me mercy. So 3 days and three nights, and it says, then Jonah prayed. Now, I'm not sure that after 15 minutes I don't want to pray. Like, you know, but honestly, I'd love to say that I can't believe Jonah would, whatever, but honestly, that is us. That's ridiculous. Think about yourself right now tonight, because mercy is, if nothing, if it's not personal. And like, think about yourself, think about myself, and the times it takes sometimes for God to like get my attention, and like he gets my attention and I resist him. Now my 3 days could be 3 years. And maybe I'm not in the belly of a whale, but my circumstances get worse and progressively worse. And one day, maybe I don't notice it at first because I'm too busy pushing him away. Maybe I'm pushing him, and I'm not awakened to the mercy that's already been extended to me and the help that I so desperately need. Jonah is 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. I've definitely gone a period of time. It is very hard to look at, and this is what I was thinking earlier, that it's so easy for me to desire grace and neglect mercy. It's so easy for me to desire grace and to just like, not pay attention much to mercy. Because there's a big difference between grace and mercy. Grace definitely says that I am nothing, but mercy said I have done the most horrendous things. Grace makes me a zero. Mercy makes me less than one. Mercy makes me the vile offender. Mercy makes me the one. Mercy makes me like absolutely. How do I put it? Like, you can be the last guy in the room or the zero and whatever, and then you can be the offender. And everyone is pointing their finger at you, and you have done it. Thou art the man. See, David, that was said to David by Nathan the prophet when David realized Nathan took time. We don't know how long. The Bible doesn't say how long David actually was after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. We don't know how long that he actually struggled with that. Nobody really knows. Some say up to 3 years, after a year and a half. Nobody knows. Before Nathan the prophet comes to him. Now, interestingly enough, Nathan doesn't come to him and tell him, hey, David, I can't believe it. I know it, man. God told me. I know what you did. You murdered Uriah. You slept with Bathsheba. We all know about this. I mean, at least I do. God told me. But God gives Nathan this this amazing story to tell him that gets David's what? Sense of justice riled up. David's sense of justice. How dare you take this lamb? How dare you do this? He's riled up. And then Nathan goes, you are the man. And David in a moment realizes what he had not been able to fully come to terms with for this period of time. And he says the famous words, I have sinned. See, mercy is absolutely connected to three words. I have sinned. It's the wildest thing. The thief on the cross gets mercy. Why? Because he says to the other thief, you be quiet. He says, we are only getting what we deserve. I have sinned. The unjust steward, he's in the temple, he can't even look up, and he says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I have sinned. The interesting thing about David's life, I think that we can sometimes love grace, love, oh, you love me or whatever, because there is something in us. In Romans 7, we don't have time to go through it. It's something to read through tonight. But it's just like in my flesh, there's no good thing. I'm like, I've got this law in me and that I want to do good, but I find evil present with me. There's something that resists, that says, no, you will not give me mercy. I don't need your mercy. But the funny thing is, I don't mind saying, give me what I don't deserve. The whole United States is doing that. It's called entitlement. I don't deserve a thing, but give it to me, give it to me. But you can't really, they're connected. And we must have an understanding of mercy. Because mercy says, I have, the person who receives it, there's an understanding in that moment that I have sinned. And the person who walks away and seems to forget it, the man who owed 10,000, if you will, and walks away, it's that he tries to quickly put out of his mind that I have sinned. But why is it? Because if I put that out of my mind that I have sinned, because I don't necessarily want to be the sinner. I don't want that. It's something in me doesn't want that. But it is the beginning. It's the beginning of where grace takes me. Of where grace can take me, rather. It's the beginning. Because it says, I have sinned. God has put away your sin. And now God can take me from 0 to 60. Mercy brings me to 0. Grace takes me from 0 to 60. Do you understand? I'm in the negative and I have this realized. And mercy brings me and says, hey, listen, God has put away your sin. And then grace takes me and runs with me and carries me to every place where I would not have taken myself. Grace gives. But I can appreciate grace because I remember mercy. Remember that sentence. That's a very important sentence for me. I appreciate grace because I remember mercy. My memory is very much tied to mercy. And to the degree that I forget mercy is to the degree that I miss so much out on God. I miss out so much. If I forget his mercy, then really do I work in, how far really can grace take me?
Okay, so I appreciate grace because I
remember mercy. If I appreciate grace. So what has God said? He gives more, greater grace to the humble. Why? Because when I remember mercy, it keeps me humble. Therefore, he can give me greater grace. So I miss out when I don't remember mercy. I actually miss out on grace. Because I will get greater grace. Right? I get greater grace. Because to the humble. But it's the humble who remember, I have sinned. And then they remember that God has put away our sin. Isn't that amazing? That's like so important for me. Because I don't want to, maybe if I understood that, I can understand the power that David had with God. Because in Isaiah 55, it talks about the sure mercies of David. And that I could have that. It's God, David understood mercy. And David had God's favor. He was a king. He was the king, favored, loved. God speaks of David. This is a man after what? God's own heart, scriptures say. What does that mean? That's so crazy. Wait a minute, stop, Latasha. How can it be after God's own heart when he was a murderer and an adulterer? How can it be after God's own heart when he did all of these things? Because he understood and remembered mercy. And so therefore he always was able to appreciate grace. It's so important for me, instead of struggling to say I don't need the mercy, like, there's like, hours of discussions and days and 3 days and three nights or 3 years of discussion of mercy. Do I need it? Oh, this is things killing me. Oh, my life is hard. Oh, this is so confused. Mercy is what you need. I've sinned. I've kind of fallen away a little bit from God. The sins are very interesting, right? It's like, I don't know what it is, but it's very interesting. It's, who knows? You say, oh, I don't know. I can't pinpoint a sin. Really? James 4:17, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. It's whatever maybe I stopped drawing near. Someone was trying to justify to me the righteousness of not going to church because I'm like, it's no matter how you cut it, it's not of God. These words aren't suggestions. And therefore, if there's a violation of them, I've sinned. That's why I need mercy. But mercy is the great... mercy talks about the great substitute. I'm given mercy because of the Son of God. I'm not supposed to sidestep it and give an excuse. Well, I did this, God, because God does not give a rat's behind about my excuses. He saw blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is not my excuse. It's now made me justified. It's why I can approach him to get grace and mercy to help in time of need. I need mercy, but I need to remember mercy. Because it's fascinating, and I have definitely done it and been horrified at myself. I've been extended mercy, and period of time will go by, and then maybe I say things, do things, and I realize, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? I have been granted so much from this person, or from this thing, or from God in this situation. What right in the world do I have to make demands? Or if somebody, you know, questions me later, are you kidding me? They saw me fall. They gave mercy. They were a part of it. And then I'm justifying myself. There's no justification. I've got no justification. But I accept the fact that Christ died on the cross. And I appreciate. I appreciate God. I appreciate mercy. Thank you that your tender mercies are over all your works. Thank you that the sun shines on the just and the unjust, because every day I feel like both. It's not like I'm with the just. I'm with the unjust. I'm with the just. I'm with the unjust. Wow, 15 minutes went by, Latasha. That is life. I'm, you know what? I'm like, I got this, I'm good, and then I'm not. But God doesn't bounce back and forth with me. He doesn't. He treats me as his own. He treats me as his child. He understands my frailty. He remembers my frame. He remembers that I'm dust. This is our God. And I really am like, I've been thinking and thought a lot about mercy. I don't know that, I think it's one of the attributes of God that we in America are wiping away as fast as we can. Because God forbid that we should... It used to be, when I would go on the streets soul winning, we would ask, I'd ask you, do you believe God? Yes. Do you believe the Bible? I would get the answer, yes. Do you know that you're a sinner? Really? And I would say, you know, I would show them, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Have you ever been angry? Have you ever been whatever? Yes, yes, yes. Easy. Now, everyone wants to justify their activity. I mean, honestly, there's full justification that goes on. Absolutely. Like, it's not a simple discussion anymore. And so it's not. And in my own heart, things are getting more and more complicated. Honestly, overseas in certain countries where they have less, this is not as hard a discussion. Sin is, but here it's complicated. Everyone has some type of complication and they have some type of whatever, and we all have it. And you feel it once you touch back down when I get off the plane. I'm ready to begin justifying myself again. The words, I'm sorry, they don't come out so easily. Or they're said, but they're not really meant. They're just more like, I'm sorry you caught me. I'm sorry this bothers you. But not like I know I have sinned. I'm sorry it caught me. I'm sorry it bothers you. If it didn't bother you, I'd be fine. You know, and if you hadn't caught me, we'd be moving on. We'd be rocking and rolling. Why? Because I forget mercy. Because mercy says something about me. You don't give mercy to a perfect person. I'll give you mercy. What for? No one had to give Christ mercy. You know, you don't give mercy to perfect people. Only imperfect people get mercy. Exactly. So I have to stand with the imperfect. I have to be among the just man who falls 7 times in a day and rises again. That means 7 times he needs mercy. We fall. You know, my soul cleaves to the dust. Quicken me. I am as a lost sheep. Seek your servant. These are realities, ladies. I must remember mercy. And another problem of mercy not being in the church is because no one can talk about sin. I need mercy. And mercy is a discussion of sin. Sin is sin. Now here's the thing, and this is very important. I can go to God 1,000 times in a day. I need to be able to point to God, you can enable me to walk well and worthy of you, though you have made me worthy. But I need to point to righteousness and not make it unrighteousness. How dare we make righteousness unrighteous? Sin is sin. I smell it. Adultery, fornication. These are sins. Don't call them not. Certain behaviors we know, they are sin. Now I may need mercy. And actually, the Christian should be the mercy bearer. I bring to you God. He is a merciful God. Maybe the God you knew pointed his finger. The God I bring to you hung on a cross to pay for that sin. But it is sin. I sin. Latasha sins every day. And I sense it. And I sense the need for it. Mercy. I have to have it. And when I don't sense it, I think I've given this example before, but it's like that trash can over there. It's like when I don't get mercy, I can keep taking out the trash, but eventually that trash can smells itself. And you can say, but there's no trash in it. Right, but the trash can itself needs to be cleaned out once in a while because it carries the smell of the trash. And when I don't get mercy, I'll forget all the reasons I needed it. I'll forget the trash that's been in my life. Because I think just going on, I'll forget about it. No, and I'll be like weighed down. I'm weighed down and I don't know why. And I'm confused and I'm whatever. But no, reality, it's the trash must be cleaned. And God's got, you know, you take that big hose and you put the, you know, everything in you, pine saw, bleach, whatever you need to put in there. And you got a brand new trash can. Sometimes you have to even throw the trash can out. Because the reality is, I can't keep not dealing with it. And Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights, if he can go that long and not have a discussion, and that's a prophet of God. How much longer than you and I go? It said, and then, he came. He prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. We don't like, okay, I got this. This is the one thing. We shake ourselves off. We're all good. It's still, you know, we're in it. You're still in it. Jonah's in the fish belly and he kind of wipes the slime off himself, kind of like, okay. So, dear God, no, you're in the belly, buddy. You ran, you smell, you stink, your slime is all over you. You have run. This is not, the prayer is from the belly. In your sin. Let's do it. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and you heard my voice. That's mercy, God. Ladies, I am so, like, in love with mercy because I have cried out of the belly. When there's no way God should look my way. There's just no way. I don't deserve his attention. But that's what makes God, God. I mean, have you ever celebrated that? Like, sometimes I just can't even believe it. I just can't believe, this is you, God. Like, I can't believe it. No one else, not the closest person to me in the world, could ever give me this type of attention, this type of mercy. But I can cry to you out of the belly. And you hear me. You've cast me into the deep. Into the depths. He did it. God does it. Because he needs to get my attention. I need to receive mercy. In the midst of the seas and the floods compassed me about, and all of his waves and his billows passed over me, then I said, I am cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. I'm a mess, God. But honestly, you have been the only thing that's ever been good in my life. The only thing. I look again. I just look. The waters, they compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed me around about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He didn't kill me. Psalm 94, when my foot slipped, it was your mercy that held me up. It's your mercy. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You know, it's the funniest thing. Sometimes our souls gotta faint. We gotta go bottom. And then I remember I need mercy. We are so pig-headed. We really are, right? We are so pig-headed. I can do it with the best of them. Nope, I'm good. What's wrong with you? You know? You've just been forgiven 10,000. And I was going to pay that back anyway. Oh, really? I got this. And we're just, to God, we're fools. We're like naked in front of him. Like, are you serious? I'm Adam and Eve. I got a couple fig leaves. Ooh, I got, we're good. And he said, and my prayer came unto you and to your holy temple, that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. God, you saved me. You saved me every day. You've saved me for good, and you saved my life every day. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah unto dry land. They that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. I follow after this vain emptiness, things that aren't real. I put this fake, this lying vanity that everything's okay. I lie in Isaiah 50, you know, I'm lying down in my own ashes, basically. I'm trying to live by my own spark of my life. Ladies, we'll never be right. God makes us right. I receive that mercy, and then grace can take me where I need to go. But I'll never get everything I wanted, meaning like things I really want from God, outside of understanding the mercy of God. Because why would you give a spoiled child everything?
That's how they became spoiled.
Exactly. And the other thing is, you know, Proverbs talks about this in Proverbs 30, that there are things that really unsettle the earth. And one of them, when it's a slave, when a slave becomes king. The idea here is that when I am given something, I'm a slave to sin, and I want grace. Wow, I've never looked at that way before, but that is an interesting thought. I'm a slave to the world system, a slave to sin, and yet I say, I want grace. I'm the king. I'm the king. And it says that the earth is unsettled with that. It doesn't fit. It's not right. It's unsettling. And I just, you know, there are a lot of different things. I actually wanted to go somewhere else with this. But I think this is what God wanted. That's Proverbs 30, verse 22. We all want grace. We want this. We want it. We want to sense it. But we are not people who come to God with these empty hands. Ladies, we're not people who have come to God with empty hands. Did you know that? We're not coming to God with empty hands. We've come to God with bloody hands. We have done criminal things. We have ignored our God. I sometimes do a Bible study every once in a while in Baltimore. And last Monday we talked about that God, how he takes us to the height and the depth. And actually I've been meditating a lot on that these past few days. But one thing that was interesting, that sometimes we think the depth is like, if I have no food, that's the depth. Sometimes I would think the depth is like, you know, I don't have a place to live. Maybe the people around me don't love me. And I'm not saying that these aren't horrible things. But the most horrible thing is to be separated from God. And that's the depths that the world will know. And they will taste of it one day. And that's one of the reasons why we are on the streets and we tell people different things. Because God knows what we don't want that to happen. But when you go and you're talking to people and we're talking about what the depth is, I have bloody hands. My sins have separated me. And Christ has paid for those sins. So to remember mercy every morning. And they're new every morning. But to remember mercy, that's what got the attention of God. That David remembered mercy. And he remembered that he needed it. And that's what makes a great man or woman of God. It's not their sinlessness. It's not because you can't catch them, you know, at a wrong moment, at a wrong day, at a wrong time. That's not what makes a great man or woman of God, because they should be able to tell you the just man falls 7 times in a day and rises again. But the reality that catches me is that I know I need mercy, and he gives it. So I say to God, thank you for mercy. And I say to the person, like, thank you for pointing out that I need mercy. I need a lot of it. And that person excels. Because why? They are not observing lying vanities. Making it about this issue, about this, and an issue about that. I'm always fascinated over the many issues it's about. It's really basic. Our life is basic. God didn't create a complicated Bible. Sin complicates us. Because we, you know, the Bible's not so complicated. If it was so complicated, why are little children running to Christ? If it was so complicated, why can the most wicked thief look at him and get it? Like there wasn't, he didn't, there was no doctrinal, dissertation. He didn't have to have a PhD to understand who Christ was. The woman with the issue of blood, the centurion, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery. In case we thought it had to, it's not complicated. Sin is complicated. Mercy sits right here for me to receive. And it can change everything. Because when I receive mercy, then I obey truth. I just go forward. Let's go forward. Because there's peace there. And the grace of God that comes upon me takes me places I've never thought I'd be. So let's not argue sin. Let's not. If you're in sin in an area right now and you know it, let's not argue it. You can fool anyone in this room. But the reality is, it doesn't help. It doesn't. I want every one of us, God wants every one of us to run forward. To walk with Him. To have a life that is well-pleasing. Not just to be well-pleasing. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we are well-pleasing as children. Any child would be to a parent. But everyone knows, as a parent, what disappointment when a child's actions are not well-pleasing. I want to be well-pleasing as I am well-pleasing. Does that make sense? There's something about that. Any comments or questions? Go ahead.
I really like the what you said about how like mercy brings us, you know, to the point where we're zero, and grace takes us and runs us to 60. And then how you brought up like Jonah, you know, he was in the valley and it wasn't like, okay, God, like, here I am, you know, like, perfect. Like, no, like, you're in the valley, like, you're in sin. Just, you know, just talk to God, like, you're in sin, you can't. I guess I just like the fact that you point out, like, don't try to justify yourself while you're in sin. Like, just, like, you need mercy, and how you pointed out that, like, Americans do, like, they do try to find ways to just, like, I do it all the time, too. Like, you want to justify yourself, you want to be right, you want to be entitled to, like, so many things, but it's like, no, like, just be truthful with God, you know, and, like, you need the mercy. Like, cry out for the mercy because it's needed. Like, I just thank you. Like, it was really awesome, you know. Like, stop trying to lie your way through life and just be true. And then, you know, you said it before also, like, the truth will set you free. And, like, the truth is we need mercy, and in that we will be set free. So, thank you.
Missing. We're missing. We have to fight for truth,
even in ourselves. You know, sometimes you can. It's okay to be two people. I know that the psychiatrists say no, it's not. I think it is. I think it's okay because sometimes there's that God part of me that says, "Hey, that's wrong," but that's not who you are. And I can agree that's wrong. Or the other part of me says, "Yeah, but I'm going to live in it and whatever." But at least I have that, because many years ago there was one of me, and that was only this person who didn't recognize. But now I'm able to say, like, this is not who I am. This will pass, and I, you know, this will pass over. This will be fine. I can be Nathan to myself, and I can be David. Do you get me? I can tell myself, you sinned, Latasha. And I can say, God has put away my sin. The Holy Spirit is my Nathan now. I don't have a prophet that comes to me anymore. But I've got the Holy Spirit and inside of me, and he tells me. And I can agree with him. And I can say, I'm still a wreck, but I agree with you. And I expect, and give me that mercy. I need it. I agree with you. Just agree with him. That's it. Jonah just had to agree with him. And then, he spits him out. And we look around like, he's all grimy, slime. It was that simple. What an idiot I was. And we all are those. Like, you know, like I said, that's 3 days. For me, it could be 3 years, 3 months. Refusing to, like, give in on an issue or give in on something. But, I mean, I'm glad that Nathan lives inside of me, you know, and he pleads with me. And he tells me, like, listen, honestly, Latasha, don't forsake your own mercy here. Remember mercy. When I've received it, there's something about being clean. I sense my just being clean, you know, before God. And that's why when grace takes me, it takes me, if you will, in the robe that mercy, you know, kind of put on me and takes me. So I'm no longer a slave who becomes a king, but I'm a daughter who becomes a queen. Right? So then that's what grace does, you know, it takes me, the daughter, and makes her something she's not, she shouldn't be. Whereas mercy, I would say I wasn't even a daughter. I was a thief. I was a slave, you know. And that's another one of the things in, it says in Proverbs 30. In that same portion, it says one of the other reasons the earth shakes is for when, like, a slave girl displaces or takes over the place of her mistress. And I would say that that can happen as well. Like, there, that part of me can, like that sin part of me can take over who God has made me to be and try to rule. And you would say, she doesn't belong here. That person is no more. That person is not, that's, she doesn't belong here. She doesn't belong. Any other comment or question?
I like when you said that, how we tend to forget mercy because we don't think we need it anymore.
Like, we don't think we need mercy once we already... But at first I was like, I was trying to figure out what that meant. But then I started thinking about it a little bit more, and then I realized that mercy, just like grace, is available to all of us. It's just how we choose to pursue our relationship with God and accept the things that he has to offer us, like things that we didn't even know that he had to offer us. Just in a short time since I've come here to be with you guys, I've learned so much more about God, what God truly has to offer. And I think about what he sacrificed to be able to offer us those things, and it just becomes more and more clear to me that I'm on the right path in my life, even if I sometimes still feel confused. And I may stumble and look over there at that other road. I don't miss that life anymore. And the more I grow and the more that I see God showing me mercy for my past, I know that I don't have to be ashamed of anything anymore, because now I use it to help others instead of being ashamed of what I used to be. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mercy cleans me up, so grace can pick me up.
Yeah. Mercy cleans me up. It says, oh, they'll never take you looking like this. Like, and I'm all cleaned up. But I'm still like, and grace takes me out. But that's the part, like, and we, it's like the eye of sin part, and that's the part we will fight. in our flesh daily. That's why it's good to get up in the morning and to remember the mercies of God. You know? And it's important to, you know, and to say, it is of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed this morning, Lamentations 3. That I would say that. And to mean it. And to think about, like, okay, because I can be so far from it. You know? God is really good to me. It's God's goodness to give us grace and mercy. These are His attributes, and they are, if you will, the tools that make us able to stand. Because we're so weak, you know. Again, in that same chapter, the conies are a feeble folk, but they make their houses in the rock. Like, this is the stuff I stand on. I may be feeble, you know. And if you look at a different version, but they'll say the spider, but it's really like maybe the lizard. You can hold a lizard in your hand, but a lizard is in palaces. Meaning, like, God gives us the tools to be more than what we should be. Because we really shouldn't be anything. And God gives us the tools to grow and to what have you. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. We will not, there will be not one person in heaven who will say, God, but I didn't have it. You don't understand. I didn't have it. Oh no, I've had it. It's written in that book. And that's why to love the book is to love life. Because those words are great words. Any other comment or question? Well, it's a great meditation. You know, maybe our life, you know, may it be pinned upon us that we would remember these things. Father, just thank you. Thank you for mercy, even right now. We're your mess. We've seemingly cleaned up a little at time, but if your prophet can run and be in the belly of a whale, God, I don't know how that would play out for us. So easy to look at different men and women in the Bible and say, how could they? I think the older I get in the Lord, I wonder, how could they be that righteous? I remember years ago when I used to wonder, we'd always pick out which disciple we think we'd be, until one day you realize, would I have even been a disciple? I might have been in the crowd that walked away. You've been so good to us. Thank you that this time you pulled us. We might not have made it that time, but such a time as this, you were able to draw us. May we grow ever more. May we know you more. May we continue to know your love and to be loved and to love you. May our past be shining brighter and brighter. Just praise you and thank you. In your son's name, amen.
Amen.